Aloha. It's Hawaiian Sunday today, so I thought that we should learn a few words of the Hawaiian language, just to celebrate. So, first word we're going to do is we're going to try something easy, and you all know what this word is. Aloha. And it means love, and it means hello, and it means goodbye. Many, many words. Many meanings. So, the second word is easy also. How many of you know what that means? Okay, what does it mean? Thank you. Thank you. It means thank you. The joke is that some tourists think it means trash because all the trash cans, the public trash cans in Hawaii have mahalo on them. So the third word I want you to learn is just a little bit more difficult. But I'm sure you can learn it. Its meaning is a trigger fish that has a snout like a pig. Here it is. Say it with me. What? You're not saying it? It's humu humu nuku nuku apua'a. Let's say it together. Humu humu nuku nuku apua'a. Trigger fish that has a snout like a pig. It's one of the beautiful fish that you can see when you're snorkeling anywhere in Hawaii. What's that? It may be the state fish. I don't know. It is the state. Okay, that's probably it. So, I knew you could speak Hawaiian. Humu humu nuku nuku apua. Now you know a new word. You can impress all your friends with it. Matter of fact, I have a t-shirt that says that. Humu humu nuku nuku apua. People stop me and say, what is that? And so as you know, as we've already said, aloha means hello and goodbye. And many of you know that in the Hawaiian language, aloha also means love. So this spiritual community, I think, is the perfect place to wish aloha on everyone because Unity of Bellevue has as one of its main core values the value of love. Love lives here. But you may not know that our spiritual community has many other ideas in common with the islands. In fact, our spiritual practices have a lot in common with the islands. So let me explain. Huna is the ancient spiritual practice of the Hawaiian people, and some people in Hawaii still practice huna as their main spiritual sustenance. And it contains a number of principles that are virtually identical with Unity's main principles. In this talk, which I call The Heart of Huna, we'll explore some of these ancient spiritual principles from the Huna. I began studying the Huna more than three decades ago, when Nancy and I lived on Maui. And I know it's a hard job, but somebody's got to do it. And I used some of what I learned in my novel, House of the Sun, a metaphysical novel of Maui. Many of you have purchased this book, and I really appreciate that. But anybody who has not, I'll be signing this book in the atrium after the service. There's a special price on it today. You get a 20% discount just for being here. What a deal. I began studying Huna because of the deep mystical influence the island and its culture have on me. I was especially enchanted by Maui's huge quiescent volcano. It's called Haleakala. And Haleakala is a Hawaiian word which means house of the sun in English. And as I learned about Huna, I realized how similar its spiritual principles are to those of Unity. And I'm convinced that Unity principles evolved from the heart of Huna. That is, Unity's lineage includes the ancient spiritual principles of the Huna as expressed through love or aloha. Unity's lineage includes the ancient spiritual practices of the Huna as expressed through love or aloha. And as we look at this idea today, I want to credit Dr. Serge Kahili King, who's a psychotherapist who is an expert on the Huna, and the late Max Freedom Long, who was a student, teacher, and writer who lived in the islands for many years in the 50s and 60s, 40s, maybe some part of the 40s. Long died in 1971, but he's credited with rediscovering the secrets of Huna that had been encoded within the Hawaiian language. So let's look at how unity and Huna are related. Let's first look at unity. Many of you know that unity was founded in 1889 by Charles and Myrtle Fillmore. It was based on Myrtle's healing and expanded as a result of Charles' interest in how that healing was accomplished. Charles began to look into how the practice of spiritual healing works. He did a lot of study. And through Myrtle's influence, unity also stressed the intuitive side of spirituality, including the powerful concept of love as a binding force. Because Charles was a student of world religions, he really looked at all the other religions in the world at that time. Unity has embraced spiritual practices from all over the world, the most important of which, I think, is meditation, which Charles brought from the Hindu and Buddhist traditions. And I believe the ideas espoused by Huna are among those practices. I don't know whether Charles ever studied Huna specifically, but much of what he did study shows up in Huna practices. Many of you are familiar with Unity's five basic beliefs. The first one is, we believe in God, the good, one presence and one power, omnipotent, active in our lives today. Second, we believe that because humans were created in the nature and after the likeness of God, we all have an essence of divinity within us, because that's what God is. Third, we believe that we create our experiences by the activity of our minds, that what shows up in our lives began as thought. Fourth, we believe that the best way to connect with spirit is through prayer and meditation. And that's why every Sunday we have a meditation during this service. And many of you have your own meditation practices. And fifth, we believe that knowing and understanding these principles is not enough. We must put them into practice in our lives every day. That's why unity is sometimes called practical Christianity. So unity is much deeper than those five basic principles, but those are the basic principles. And I want to look at the Huna for a moment or two, and we'll see where the two compare. Much of what I'm going to say comes from Serge King's book called Mastering Your Hidden Self, and also from Max Freedom Long in his 1965 book, written shortly, not too long before he died, called The Huna Code in Religion. It's a very interesting, very esoteric book. Now, Huna, says Dr. King, is incredibly old, probably as old as the creation of man himself. He says legend traces Huna back to the lost continents of Atlantis and Mu. Some people believe Mu is Maui today, but I don't know about that. But the first historical indication of Huna, King says, can be found in some of the writings in Egypt. And Huna was transmitted through the ages in a secret oral language that Serge King believes was created in Polynesia. He bases that belief on the writings of Max Freedom Long, who had witnessed the powers of the kahuna. You've heard of that word, the kahuna, K-A-H-U-N-A. They are the shamans and medicine men of Hawaii. And Long saw them and worked with them during his long stay in the islands. He believed that the secret code to the Huna could be found in the spoken language of Hawaii. Now, many of you know, or maybe you don't know, that language, the Hawaiian language, had never been written down before the Westerners discovered the islands in the 1700s. Captain Cook and then others after that. Of course, the Polynesians discovered it first, but they did not write the language down. It had never been written down. Long went even further. He began to study the spiritual writings of other world religions for traces of Huna in their spiritual texts. And he did this by translating passages into Hawaiian and found what Serge King called truly astounding discoveries, particularly in regard to the New Testament. King goes on, and you'll see the slide up here behind me. Either Jesus himself or the earliest Christian writers were obviously initiates of Huna or somehow had an intimate knowledge of the teachings that form its basis. Time after time, the principles of Huna were shown to have been hidden right within the outer teachings. That part of it's not on here. But the idea is that what Long discovered was he believes that Huna is so old that all of the teachings which came through the Christian religion had been available to Jesus and others at that time. And that sounds a little bit to me like metaphysics. Unity looks at the Bible from a metaphysical standpoint rather than from a literal one. We look for hidden meanings in the Bible, just as students of Huna do in other spiritual texts. And there are a lot of other similarities between Huna and Unity. I'm going to point out some now. Serge King lists 7 basic Huna principles. Let's see if you recognize any Unity beliefs in these. The first one, the world is what you think it is. He calls this, King calls this, the cornerstone principle of Huna, which contains the notion, quote, that by changing your thinking, you can change your world. Let me ask you, does that sound familiar to any of you? 2, there are no limits. Huna says there are no boundaries between us. There is no real separation between us and God, only a sense of separation. And another meaning is that there are unlimited potentials for creativity. We can create anything we can conceive. 3, energy flows where attention goes. And this is similar to 1, that the thoughts and feelings that we dwell on, either consciously or subconsciously, produce what happens in our lives in one form or another. 4, now is the moment of power. Here it is. We are not bound by conditions of the past, nor by perceptions of the future. Right now, we can change limiting beliefs and plant seeds for a better future. Any of you who have attended a Unity Burning Bowl service will recognize that. 5, to love is to be happy with. The universe exists because of love, the Huna says, and so do human beings, even if we are not aware of it. In Huna, love is the only ethic needed. Serge King writes this, the Huna guideline is to use love as a basis for evaluating everything, seeking always to create love where it seems to be lacking and to enhance it where it already exists. And that's the spirit of aloha. The people of the Hawaiian Islands are known for today. How many of you have visited Hawaii? Any parts of it? So many of you in this audience. Good. So tell me, do you feel that spirit when you get off the plane, whatever island you're visiting? It's there. It's palpable. And this same spirit fills this Unity Church. You can feel it as soon as you walk in the door or even drive onto the grounds. The 6th basic principle of Huna is all power comes from within. Does that sound familiar to any of you? It's the same as the Unity principle that our essence is spiritual, that we are all, that we all have an essence of divinity within us. It's the second basic unity principle. All power comes from within. And finally, number seven, effectiveness is the measure of truth. In other words, as we in unity teach, we must put the truth that we know into effective practice in an everyday, useful manner. It's equivalent to unity's fifth principle. So do you see how the principles seem to work together? Not among the seven that Serge King talks about, but clearly important in Huna, is the idea of prayer and meditation. That's why I led you in Haipule, the Hawaiian meditation that we did a few moments ago. Now, there are many more similarities between Huna and unity, too many for me to cover in today's talk, for sure. The study of Huna is really fascinating, and I don't claim to be an expert on it. I may know a little about it, and I continue to study and read. And so the idea of the Huna was so fascinating to me as my studies in Maui that I wrote a book about it. And my book is a fictionalized version of the basic Hawaiian or basic Huna principles. And I'm going to read an excerpt to give you a flavor of how Huna principles work in your life. I need to set this up with a little background. Keili'i is my book's protagonist. He's my book's hero. And he is mentored by an elderly kahuna named Joshua. And when Joshua dies about midway through the book, Keili'i is determined to take Joshua's remains to Haleakala to dispose of them in the manner of the Ali'i, that's Hawaiian royalty, because he has had so much respect for Joshua. So he bundles up his body and bones, and actually doesn't have any of the flesh. He has the bones and the skull, and he encounters, and his trip to Haleakala in the crater of Haleakala, he encounters Madame Pele. Madame Pele is a great character in the book because she's the goddess of fire who dwells within the volcanoes of the Hawaiian Islands, and she's an antagonist to Keili'i. She tries to thwart him throughout his efforts to become kahuna. And so here's what happens when he meets Madame Pele. This is Madame Pele speaking. "Now, my young kahuna, we shall see how powerful you really are. You may feel you can spurn my body, but that proves nothing, nothing. Here is the test laid out before you. This lava that crawls about my feet will roast you like a pig and an emu if you fail. But if you are kahuna, you will walk in this lava free from harm. This is the test, my young pretender. You must undergo this test, this trial by fire." Keili'i was angry. "Woman, already I have proved this to you. When I was but a child, I walked the fire pit in response to your call. I need not prove myself again. I was a small boy when I overcame your fire the first time. Surely you do not believe I will fail now at the height of my powers. You have insulted me and threw me all of Huna. I reject you. This is not the Pele I have loved since I followed her into the fire pit those many years ago." Keili'i closed his eyes, prepared for the blast that was sure to follow. It did not come, and when Keili'i opened his eyes, he was astonished to see tears sizzling on her cheeks. "I had forgotten about that young boy. I did not know that he was you. Surely you have kept me in your heart all that time, Keili'i, and I honor you for that." Pele stepped over the cooling lava and approached the massive stone altar, holding out her arms. A warning sounded in Keili'i's mind. "Joshua, beware, Keili'i. Pele is capricious. She is tricking you. Kelei drew away from the woman and she exploded in anger, spitting fire at him. Suddenly the shape of the woman vanished and there was a pillar of fire swirling in front of Kelei. Pele had taken on her spirit form. He cringed. Sure, he was to be roasted alive. He had no choice. He escaped into the solitude, and it saved him. In this sacred spot, he waited for his high self, his Amakua, to comfort and soothe him. Here the trade winds wafted. Here the sweet papaya dropped into his hands like manna. Here the sweet blue ocean embraced him. In this refuge, his power returned, rushing toward him like the tide. All fear left as the certainty that his spirit was eternal brushed him with its cool breeze. The solitude nurtured and protected Kelei. When it permitted him to return, Kelei found himself sitting on the ground unharmed. Madame Pele had capitulated. So, Kelei, you have won and I have lost. Clearly, you are kahuna. As you sat on my altar, I saw great power emanating from you. I saw much mana being produced to protect you from my anger. I believe you are a great kahuna, Kelei Kahakili, a great kahuna indeed. I have exposed you to a terrible trial, and you have met it. For this I have a gift, the gift of knowledge. You may ask one question, and I am required to answer truthfully and completely. There is no subject that is kapu. You may ask, and I must answer. The answer to that, what that question is on page 201, by the way. And so as we end today, I want to stress the importance of aloha, of love. It is, I believe, the heart of huna and of unity. If you look at a Hawaiian English dictionary, you will see that the word aloha has the longest entry by far. And that's how important Hawaiians believe aloha is. It has so much meaning to the Hawaiian people. And it's no coincidence that aloha is also the Hawaiian word for goodbye and hello. You see, Hawaiians greet each other with love and they part with love. So it's appropriate for me to end this talk today with a special blessing for you. Meke aloha, o akua. Meke aloha, o akua. What that means is go with the love of God. Mahalo. God bless you.